The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, farmers are accusing vegan food producers of hijacking traditional farming terms to sell their products. Irish farmers have now welcomed the move by the European Parliament to restrict vegetarian and vegan food producers from using the terms sausage, burger or schnitzel on their products. But is that a step too far? Dennis Drennan is president of the Irish Creamery and Milk Suppliers Association, and he's on the line. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, and good morning to all your listeners.
Now, tell me about this move. You welcomed the move by the European Parliament to restrict the use of sausage, burger, schnitzel to meat products.
Yeah, well, I suppose where it started, there was court cases in a number of countries across Europe back in October 2024, where individual countries tried to stop, you know, to protect the national identity of their foods, so that, you know, we'll say the large multinationals that are producing vegan or vegetarian food from, hijacking or piggybacking on top of the names that are well established as regards schnitzel, goulash, you know, Frankfurter, sausage, burger, and in individual countries it failed at the court. So the European Union are now looking to Common Market Organization regulations, and that will be coming to the Europe in mid-July, and this is for post-2027 CAP regulations. So there's an MEP called Céline Imart, she's a member of the European People's Party, and she's really the one driving this, but there's huge support coming from all over Europe, Czech, Austria, Hungary, Ireland, France, Luxembourg, Portugal, it's all over the place for support for this. So it's something similar, Pat, that we had oat milk, and we had, you know, almond milk, and we had soya milk, and the regulation was brought in so that you couldn't actually call any of these juices, which is what they are.
We're still seeing that on the shelves, though, are we not, in supermarkets?
No,
oat milk.
It's actually oat juice now, or it's almond juice. The regulation came in that it could not be called milk because, I'm looking out here at a field of oats in my neighbour's field, and I don't see any mammary glands in any of the oats. So milk is something that's produced by mammals through their mammary glands, and I don't see it on oats or almonds, to be honest. All these multinational companies are really hijacking what people have understood for centuries as regards a burger is something made from minced beef and maybe salt and pepper, and you have to be in two buns. A sausage is made from ground up pork meat and mixed maybe with spices. You know, a schnitzel is a piece of veal that's battered with breadcrumbs. So, I mean, it's these other products, and we've no issue with anybody switching over to vegan or vegetarian or whatever people feel they like, enjoy eating and want to eat for whatever reason, if it's just for taste or pleasure or for environmental reasons or whatever they believe in, that's absolutely fine. But why do these companies have to hijack our names? The established names of food products that we have come to know and love for centuries.
Yeah, but doesn't language change and the use of language change? I mean, the term hamburger comes from Hamburg. It was the kind of meat that they seemingly traditionally used to eat in Hamburg, which was ground beef. I don't know when the sandwich end of it was created, you know, with a bun on the bottom and a bun on the top. But even if you think of a hamburger, for those who don't really understand that, they might think there's pork in it. Hamburger.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But I suppose you have to go to the origins of the name. Like, whereas if you look at sausages, where they came from there was no waste in our households years ago when people, you know, kept a pig in their back garden and fed it scraps. And then every little piece of that meat from that pig was used. And sausages were a really tasty way of using up, we'll say, not the prime cuts. And same thing happened with burgers, schnitzel is the same. But I mean, we certainly don't feel if somebody has a bad experience eating one of these products that are actually not what the perception is that they are going to be, that they blame a bad experience with eating sausages because it's not actually a sausage.
Yeah.
There has to be some respect for where the interpretation of the words and the meaning of the language came from.
We also use the term sausage to indicate a shape, like a sausage dog is often referred to as certain breeds of dog who are long, elongated and tubular. Looking up the dictionary this morning about sausage, one of the alternatives for that particular word is, like you might say it affectionately, I'll see you tonight, sausage. You know, that's in Britain particularly, not so much here.
I suppose if you're eating the sausage, it's different to see it tonight, sausage, I suppose, isn't it? Like, they're two different things.
I'll see you in the morning for breakfast, sausage. Yes, I can see how the confusion might arise. But what are they going to do? Because in America, for example, they refer to what goes into the hamburger as a beef patty. You know, that's they look at the hamburger as the whole product, the condiments, the beef patty, the bun. That's the hamburger. So it's not actually the little the beef in it that is referred to as the burger. You might refer to a beef patty, or you might refer to the beef in the burger. But they use the term patty. So is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, I just think that the word burger should be maintained. Like, I suppose burger is used worldwide, so it's obviously more open to variations. But the likes of a schnitzel, or the likes of a frankfurter, or a sausage here in our own country, or if you go skiing, Pat, and you go in for your goulash at lunchtime, you certainly expect the goulash to contain beef. You don't expect, if you're ordering goulash, for it not to contain beef. And if you have a bad experience eating something that has been called goulash but actually doesn't contain beef, well, is that fair on the generations of people who have developed goulash to be the tasty treat that it is at lunchtime?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, though, to what extent goulash might refer to it. It was originated, I think, from Hungary. It's a common meal eaten there. It traces its origins way back to the 10th century, I'm told. So the question is, are there other kinds of goulash that you can get besides beef goulash?
I mean, well, I'm not sure, but I suppose with the support that's there from all your number of European countries, and this has come from almost all European countries, that they want to protect the names that are given to their traditional meat and dairy products. And, you know, if these other products are so good and so tasty and so good for you and people want to eat them, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, invent your own names and, you know, develop a reputation for the quality of the product that you make, not piggybacking or hijacking the names that are associated with quality products that we make.
I mean, the term goulash goes back to, it was a meal, typically a stew eaten by shepherds, but it invariably did include meat. There was no question about that.
Absolutely.
So how long before the European Parliament decides this is going to be the case?
Well, the Céline Imart, who is a French MEP, is bringing this forward for the June discussion from the Common Market Organization regulation. And she's hoping that it will go through this month, but if it doesn't, it will probably get through next month. Because of the level of support, like, I mean, the list of countries, Spain, Romania, Portugal, Malta, Luxembourg, like, you know, the number of countries that are in favour of this for protecting their own particular version of these foods, it's massive support out there. So we would be expecting this to be to get through this summer and be in place for post-CAP 2027 times and protect the names that we have all learned to love and understand for many centuries.
And do you have any proposals or ideas as to what you might call these products in the absence of being able to call something shaped like a sausage but does not contain meat? I mean, do you call it like a cylinder?
Well, you know,
a vegan cylinder?
Well, thankfully, Pat, we don't have to worry about these issues. We have long established, well-recognised names for all our food products. And I think if any new food product comes on the marketplace, it's up to that person who's developing that product to invent a name or create a name that will be attractive to the consumer. And hopefully the name would match the tastiness of the product. Like, because I know when I start talking about sausages and burgers here now, Pat, I start getting hungry, so I do, because the long-established flavours and taste that go with it.
Now, someone says on the text line, this is ridiculous. Their milk alternatives, this is the oat juice and the soya juice or whatever. Their milk alternatives for people who don't or cannot drink cow's milk, people who are lactose intolerant, for example, and they should be labelled as such. Do they really think enough people will buy almond milk instead of normal milk, who could buy normal milk, not having a health problem with it? Would they really buy almond milk or oat milk or any of these things, no matter how they're named?
Well, I think, well, first of all, if somebody's lactose intolerant, so we have lactose-free milk available for them. That's cow's milk treated with an enzyme. So that's an alternative that the market has developed. But look, I think it should. What's on the outside of the package should describe what's inside the package. And to call it oat milk, it's an oat juice, not an oat milk. Almond is the same. It's not certainly almonds don't have mammary glands that produce milk. So I think we need to get back to, like, I mean, there's a lot of terms being bandied around and misused. So we should describe, to provide proper information to the consumer, we should put the correct label on the outside of the food and that the consumer is well aware of what they're buying when they're buying it.
But another listener, maybe be careful what you wish for. Roz suggests, would you prefer if this vegan food was called cruelty-free food rather than otherwise, you know, because that would remind people of the abattoir, blah, 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 everything that goes into it.
Well, that's somebody's own interpretation of how things are done. Like, we've one of the most regulated industries in the world, one of the most sustainable industries in the world for producing food here. And I think people need to start realizing that we need to increase food production in the world by 50% in the next 30 years. And we're under serious pressure to do that. Like, so I'm not so sure how we're going to do it, but that is the imminent question that's facing us.
All right, final comment here. I liked sausage rolls, but not the cruelty in the industry, so I don't eat them for that reason, but enjoy being able to have a vegan sausage roll with a clear conscience. It'll be a vegan cylinder world, presumably, in the future. Anyway, I mean, that whole question of intensification of pigs is not your area, I know, Dennis, but some people do worry about that. And perhaps that sausage roll person, if they got a free-range sausage roll, would they be happy to eat it? Don't know. Anyway, Dennis Drennan, President of the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.